Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today's program has all sorts of stuff in it. First of all, it's our news watch unit. That is extremely exciting. It's also our all English lecture. That is extra exciting. No Chinese teacher today. And even more, we're going to talk about the articles themselves. We've got something about disposable contact lenses, which is something that lots of people here in Taiwan wear every day. And then we've also got something that deals with your fear of heights. Maybe you've got something called acrophobia. You're scared of high places.
Are you afraid of heights?
Not really.
That's what we'll say. Are you afraid of heights or high places? Right. Acrophobia. No, I'm not.
Right. So some people do suffer from this. There are various phobias that people have.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about some of those in today's program. But we are specifically talking about overcoming your fear of heights with something called virtual reality therapy. That's our second article for today. And as I said, the first article is about disposable contact lenses and how they are bad for the environment.
Right.
So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson now, one time.
The unseen dangers of disposable contact lenses. Many people think of bags and straws when they picture plastic waste. However, researchers recently noticed that one type of plastic pollution is harder to see: contact lenses. A survey conducted at Arizona State University revealed that 15 to 20% of the participants had disposed of contact lenses in the toilet or sink. Even after going through water treatment plants, contact lenses don't fully decay, so they are flushed into rivers and oceans as almost invisible pieces of microplastic. It might seem that something so small couldn't do much harm, but this isn't true. Microplastics absorb toxic chemicals at a higher rate than average waste items, so they can threaten life all the way up the food chain, eventually reaching humans. Although contact lenses make up just a small part of the pollution flooding into our oceans, they definitely still have an impact. The researchers hope to see contact lens manufacturers make their products easier to recycle and encourage consumers to dispose of their lenses properly.
Overcoming a fear of heights with virtual reality therapy. If being in high places leaves you stricken with fear, you're not alone. One in five people will suffer from acrophobia, the fear of heights, at some point in their life. Fortunately, overcoming that fear may soon be easier thanks to a promising new virtual reality VR program. Developed by psychiatrists at Oxford University, this unique therapy requires a VR system but can be performed anywhere. In the program, a virtual coach guides patients as they navigate a 10-story building, completing tasks along the way. This exercise helps build associations with less stressful memories around heights. The program was tested on a group of 100 subjects, all with moderate to severe acrophobia. Half the participants used the VR therapy, while the other half received no treatment. The experiment exceeded expectations, reducing the first group's acrophobia by an average of 68%. Many of the participants say it has changed their lives. Now, researchers are considering whether the technology might be useful for other psychological issues. While it can't replace human professionals completely, VR therapy could become a game changer in the field of psychology.
Okay, folks, this is our all English lecture. No Chinese at all.
Or no Spanish?
No Spanish, no French.
French, German.
No, just
Russian.
English. And we'll try to be a little bit clearer. We'll try to speak a little slower. Here we go. The unseen dangers. You can't see the dangers, I think, here because you honestly don't even think about it. But it could also literally mean you can't see the contact lenses. I bet everyone's had a friend who had a contact lens pop out, you know, and they're down on the ground on their knees trying to find that contact lens. My mom used to wear contact lenses, and I remember her losing them quite frequently. So we're talking about the dangers of disposable contact lenses. If something's disposable, you use it once and you throw it out. So for an example, I like disposable hand wipes. You know, they come in those little packages. And when I'm outside, I'm on the bus and stuff, I want to wash my hands so I don't have germs. I don't want to get a cold. Those you use once and you throw them in the garbage.
Right. Or you could use disposable cutlery, disposable silverware when you eat, disposable cups and stuff like that. I used to use a disposable razor to shave with, but I've since started using the safety razors from my dad's generation, basically so I don't, you know, create lots of plastic garbage. They're all metal there. And you've got disposable diapers, disposable razors, as I said. And in this case, we've got disposable contact lenses. My wife used to wear disposable contact lenses, but I guess they were getting to be bad for her eyes or something
that.
They do kind of cause your eyes to lose oxygen or something like that
because
you wear them for so long. So she stopped wearing those and wears glasses now. Well, here in the first paragraph it says, many people think of bags and straws when they picture plastic waste. So if we ask you to imagine or picture plastic waste, when I mention this term plastic waste, what do you think of? What do you picture in your mind? Well, most people will think of bags, plastic bags. We're always hearing about those. And straws. Plastic straws, of course, have been in the news recently. Lots of governments and lots of restaurants are trying to ban the use of plastic straws because they get into the ecosystem and cause problems there. Although there are other problems, too, with plastic waste. But in any case, that's what most people think of, plastic bags and straws.
Well, it says here, however, this is sort of the, a different thought here. Researchers recently noticed that one type of plastic pollution is harder to see, and that's contact lenses. So they've done some studies, obviously. They've done research. These are researchers who noticed that we have some plastic pollution that no one's paying attention to, and that is the contact lenses. So the survey or the research they did actually took place at Arizona State University, or as we call it in Arizona, ASU, which is very close to my home, actually.
Is that the one with the Sun Devils?
Yeah, we're the Arizona Sun Devils. I didn't graduate from ASU. I went to a different school. But most of my family, they went to ASU. They're graduates of Arizona State University. If you conduct something, you carry it out. We always use this. For the most part, we use this when we're talking about research. And you've got scientists who want to test a theory or test an idea. They'll often conduct a survey or conduct experiments. You can also be a conductor if you're a musician, and that person actually leads an orchestra, a band, or a symphony. They're up in the front and they're leading everybody. They're conducting the orchestra. Here, though, we're conducting a research project. It's a survey. So they ask people, hey, how do you get rid of your contact lenses? And they found that 15 to 20% of the participants or the people they surveyed had gotten rid of or disposed of contact lenses in the toilet or the sink and not put them in the garbage.
Right. So that's a 15 to 20% of people there. When they're using the toilet and they decide that they don't want to use that contact lens anymore, they just flush it down with the other stuff there, or they might just wash it down in the sink. And even after going through water treatment plants, contact lenses don't fully decay, so they are flushed into rivers and oceans as almost invisible pieces of microplastic. So, yes, of course, when things go through the pipes in your house, when you flush the toilet, mm-hmm. or when you wash it down the sink, usually they go to some kind of water treatment plant where the sewage or the waste is treated. But in this particular case, contact lenses go to those treatment plants, but they don't fully decay. Here we're using the word decay, which means something kind of breaks down and returns to a very basic state. Lots of things can decay, like food can decay, for example. It rots. Your teeth can decay as well. If you don't brush your teeth or if you don't floss your teeth every day, you will suffer from tooth decay. In that case, decay is a noun, but here it's being used as a verb. Yeah, they don't totally break down. Mm-hmm. They're not biodegradable, as we often say. So they just stay in that form of plastic for hundreds of years. And, of course, as you know, they get flushed into rivers and the ocean. So here we've got the word flush as a verb mm-hmm. that's usually used to talk about when we use the toilet. You've sat down, you've done your business, you've cleaned up, and now you need to push the handle. You need to flush the toilet. But we also use the word flush when we talk about a large amount of water going down through some sort of pipe or something like that, or rinsing something. So the water gets flushed into rivers and oceans as almost invisible pieces of microplastic. Mm-hmm. Something invisible is something that is unseen, something that you can't see.
Right. I think there's a superhero that can make himself invisible. I kind of like that, to be invisible and just watch what people are doing when they don't think you're around. Yeah, invisible, you can't see something. Visible, of course, is something you can see. It's just the opposite. I wanted to mention flushed as an adjective means that you're embarrassed about something and your face turns red. We'll say someone's face is flushed or, you know, she blushed and so her face is flushed. Or sometimes if, I don't think it happens so much with Asians, but if your skin is really white, you know, and you're a Caucasian like me, when I exercise, my skin turns really red in my face and I'll have people I don't know go, "Are you okay?" Yeah, my face is flushed, so it just turns red. But here, of course, you're actually using some sort of lever on your toilet and letting that toilet the water in the toilet go down through the pipes, and it eventually ends up in a water treatment plant where the chemicals there are very, very strong. But, you know, these contact lenses are man-made material, so they don't just break apart and go into the soil or they're always there. Microplastic here, this word just means really tiny pieces of plastic.
Right, and here in the next paragraph it says, it might seem that something so small couldn't do much harm, but this isn't true. So, of course, you've worn your disposable contact lenses and you want to get rid of them and you think, oh, it's just so small. They're barely 1 centimeter wide.
Yeah, big deal. Huh?
What harm is it going to do? But we're going to find out that these things actually do cause lots of harm. These are microplastics, small pieces of plastic. They absorb toxic chemicals at a higher rate than average waste items. To absorb means to suck in. Toxic means poisonous. And these are chemicals that get sucked into these little pieces of plastic, much more than average waste items, much more than average garbage.
Like toilet paper.
Indeed. Yeah. And so they can threaten life all the way up the food chain, eventually reaching humans. So, yes, they get into the ocean and fish eat them, and then fishermen catch those fish, and we go to Geelong and have seafood there at the Miao Ko Yeshi. Oh, I can't speak Chinese. What did I do?
No.
The Temple Street Market, I believe, is called there in Geelong. And that little plastic is still in that fish, and you ingest it. It goes in your body. So that's the food chain here. So, gee, imagine that. If you eat fish, you're going to be having someone's contact lens inside your tummy, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure people think, oh, I must be, you know, about the only one who puts my lenses in the toilet, or I let them go down the sink. Big deal. But while you're doing it, there are probably millions of other people doing the same thing. So we're making our oceans dirty. We're hurting the fish. And eventually, if we eat those fish that take in those contact lenses, it's hurting people too. So although contact lenses make up just a small part of the pollution flooding into our oceans, they definitely still have an impact. I think most people who pollute, you know, folks who go to the beach and leave their cans and their plastic bags on the sand, they think, oh, it's just a little bit. But when everybody does the same thing, it adds up to a lot of pollution. So your contact lenses, although they might look small, if everyone's doing the same thing, it ends up being a lot of pollution. So the researchers hope to see contact lens manufacturers, the people who make them, notice if you're talking about contact lens, just like one contact lens manufacturers. We're using singular for the lens there because it's turning in to an adjective. What kind of manufacturers? Well, it's the contact lens manufacturers. They make their products easier to recycle. We're hoping that they'll work on that so that they'll break apart, decay better. And that might also help if they can encourage their consumers to dispose of their lenses properly. They might want to start making commercials about what to do with those disposable contact lenses when you're finished with them.
Yeah, and what's wrong with glasses? I tried to wear contact lenses before. They are a hassle to clean and put in and stuff like that. And I wear glasses and I've got the transition lenses, you know, So they turn dark in the sunlight. I don't know if contact lenses can do that, but I like my glasses. I would never use contact lenses. But yes, we've got to encourage consumers who want to use contact lenses to dispose of them properly. Don't flush them down the toilet. Don't flush them down the toilet and don't wash them down the sink. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in today's lesson. Let's take a break now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We've got one news story out of the way. We've talked about the unseen dangers of disposable contact lenses. If you wear them, please dispose of them properly, not in the toilet and not in the sink. Now, our next article is about overcoming your fear of heights if you have that, and you might use virtual reality therapy. Mm. So here we want to overcome your fear of heights. If you overcome something, of course, that means you conquer that fear, you deal with that problem, and it should no longer bother you. You might want to overcome some financial difficulties that you're having. Maybe you can't pay your bills or something, but hey, you get really frugal. You don't spend a lot of money at expensive restaurants. You save your money, you pay off your debts, and you're able to overcome your financial difficulties.
You can also use overcome as a verb to talk about when some emotion kind of overwhelms you. There's too much of it. If you're overwhelmed with sorrow, you might start crying, or overwhelmed with nervousness. Maybe you're so nervous before taking a test, you can't even think or concentrate. So we use it that way too. If you overcome a fear, it's like Tom said, you're able to deal with some sort of problem or issue that you have so that you're successful. So I don't have a fear of heights, although I can't say I love driving over high bridges for a long time. Mm. You know, I don't like to look outside the window. If I'm not driving, I definitely won't look out the window. But yeah, I don't really like that, but I'm not too afraid of heights, I don't think. So this is a way of dealing with your acrophobia. We're going to talk about that. The big long word acrophobia just means a fear of heights. So virtual reality is really catching on these days. A lot of video games are made into VR. I've recorded a couple of videos, or I do the voice on the video, and I've done VR tourist videos. I was telling Tom You know, if you want to go biking in Taiwan, the best places to go biking were included on this virtual reality video. But I also did one for doctors and how to do surgery, which was very interesting. They're using it for a lot of things. Here we're talking about therapy, and we're talking about overcoming a mental issue that you have.Because if you're afraid of heights, it has something to do with your brain. So therapy just means some sort of treatment that you use to overcome a problem or heal a disorder. A lot of people have, this is a fun use of this word, retail therapy. Retail therapy means you're upset perhaps because, you know, your boyfriend dumped you or you got a bad score in a test. And to make you feel better, especially the women out there, you go shopping. That would be retail therapy.
Therapy. Okay. So there are various ways to treat a problem that you have. You could have therapy if you, say, broke your leg or something and you need to go to rehabilitation. That's a kind of therapy where you have treatments like, you know, every other day for a year or something like that. And in this particular case, though, it's virtual reality therapy. I guess you put on those goggles or that mask or something and it takes you to a place and you're, of course, not really there.
It feels like it, though. It feels like
definitely
you're right
feels
there.
Like. Are they 3D or something? I've never actually worn those before. I can't see 3D myself because of my eyes. But in any case here, this article here begins by saying, if being in high places leaves you stricken with fear, you're not alone. So imagine you go to the observation deck in Taipei 101. My goodness, you're really scared there. We're so high in the air. What if we fall down? What if there's a really strong earthquake and this building falls over? What are we going to do? So you have this fear of high places. And if this fear leaves you stricken with fear or leaves you really, really afraid, that's what stricken here means. You have this problem. Well, you're not alone. There are other people who suffer from this problem as well. 1 in 5 people will suffer from acrophobia, the fear of heights, at some point in their life. So most people, I guess, are not afraid of heights. If they go to the top of a building or something and look down, they're not really afraid. But 1 in 5 people might be afraid if they look over the edge of a 20-story building or something. And if you have an excessive fear of heights, I think it's natural to be scared of heights somehow. If you do fall, you're going to get hurt, you know, so you should be a little scared of it. But if you are really scared of it, then you suffer from something called acrophobia. You've got lots of phobias, of course, if you're scared of closed-in places. You have claustrophobia. And then I think if you're scared of spiders, you have arachnophobia or something like that. There are lists of all sorts of phobias that people have. People can be scared of clowns. They can be scared of little tiny dots on the page of a paper.
Or crowds going out of the house. They just want to be alone.
Or they have fear of open spaces. They like to be around other people. If no one's around, they're really scared. There are all sorts of phobias.
Lots of phobias. Well, this VR program was developed by psychiatrists in England. That's where Oxford University is located. Oxford and Cambridge are the two most prestigious universities over there in the UK. If you're a psychiatrist, you're a doctor who specializes in mental illness or problems that people have in their brains. So this unique therapy requires a VR system, but it can be performed anywhere. So how do they use this VR system? Well, they've got a program and a virtual coach. So this is like a voice that talks to you as you're watching whatever's in those goggles. They will coach the patients as they navigate a 10-story building. If you navigate someplace or somewhere, it just means you're directing your path or your footsteps. You could navigate by the stars, look up at the stars at night, and determine which direction you want to go, north, south, east, west. We navigate ships, you know. You'll have a captain of the ship who is at the wheel navigating the ship. Well, they navigate or they tell the patients where to go as they're going through this 10-story building. 10-story is another way to say 10-floor building, or this building has 10 floors.
Right, so you're in this VR program and it guides you through this 10-story building, maybe going from the ground floor to the next floor and on up to the 10th floor, and you complete various tasks along the way, and you have these associations that are built as you're going through this building. So maybe if you're on the 5th floor and you look out the window, you have a nice experience there in the VR program so that you associate or connect these nice memories with being up in a high place, and then maybe you'll lose your fear of heights.
Yeah.
Now, here in the next paragraph, it says, the program was tested on a group of 100 subjects. No, these aren't school subjects like mathematics or science or physics or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who are participating in a study. And a person who participates in a study is called a subject. So we've got 100 subjects or 100 people participating in this study, a group of them, and they all had moderate to severe acrophobia. They all suffered from this problem to some degree.
Well, I wanted to mention, you can also call these folks participants, of course, so subjects or participants. Now, half of them used the VR therapy, and the other half of the group didn't. They didn't get any treatment, and that's usually what they do when they're testing some sort of medical prescription drug. Some of the folks will take the drug and some won't, so they can compare the two groups. So the experiment exceeded expectations. To exceed means to go beyond some number, to be greater in number or size than you had thought, or to be better than or surpass expectations. We'll often use a stock, you know, for a company, a stock market. Oh, this stock or the company's results this quarter exceeded our expectations. Expectations is used with an S. Please don't say my parents have great expectation for me.
Oh.
No, it's always plural. Expectations here just means something that you believe will happen in the future or something that will take place. A belief that someone will or should achieve something is how we use it when we're talking about students. So the experiment was even better than they thought it would be. And it helped reduce the first group's acrophobia by an average of almost 70%. That's a lot. So the first group, of course, were the ones who actually took the VR therapy. And way over half of them actually improved. They weren't as afraid of heights as the group that wasn't tested or as they were before they went through the VR therapy.
That is fantastic. And many of the participants, many of the subjects say it has changed their lives. They can go to observation decks now. They can climb mountains and stuff like that. Now researchers are considering whether the technology or if the technology might be useful for other psychological issues, like fears of other things, fears of worms or snakes or whatever. It has to do with psychological things.
Mm-hmm.
And while it can't replace human professionals completely, VR therapy could become a game changer in the field of psychology. So here we've got the term game changer. It changes the game. It changes the way things usually happen in the world. We often say this, like the PC was a game changer in the world. It really changed the world. People were using typewriters before that. Now they use word processors. It was a real game changer.
Yeah, we use it quite often. Well, Tom, we're done with this unit, and there's no Chinese teacher,
oh,
so we just have to say goodbye. We're really glad you joined us. We hope you'll come back soon. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
See ya.
Goodbye.